Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to Powerfully You on Blog Talk Radio. This is Dave and Linda McDowell here. And then just as a quick introduction, the show is really about us sharing some things that we're learning and experiencing in the hopes that it will be a catalyst to other people to explore what they think, what they believe, to really think and reason and pray and seek their own path. Now, Linda has the main topic of the day. I think she wants to start off with a song, but I'm going to turn it over to Linda.
Okay, I'm just going to start off with Israel Houston and Moving Forward, and then we'll go with the topic.
What a moment you brought me to such freedom. I found you, you're the healer. It makes all things new, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back to the nerd.
Okay, that was Israel Houghton and Moving Forward. I just thought that we'd start out the day a little bit different by playing some music and just enjoying sometimes just the spiritual music kind of moves your soul. And some of the things he was saying is that you make all things new. I will follow you forward. You know, sometimes we kind of stick to the past and stay there. And the past is in the past. It's gone. We have no choice but to move forward. And that was what I got out of that song. I hope you enjoyed it. Well, today we're inviting you on our back patio because that's where we're doing the show live, on our back patio. And we've invited you to have a seat, sip on some coffee or tea as we are doing. And let's just discuss as if you were here with us on our back patio. I'm sure you probably can hear the birds and the outdoor sounds, and we wanted that to be.
A lot more in the background.
Yeah, it's even a lot more in the background and all of that. But we are really literally on our back patio, and we're taping. And so today the subject is loving. Become revolutionary instead of just the way it should be. It's almost as in today's society that loving yourself, loving God, and loving others has almost makes you a revolutionary, because it's so many people in today's society that actually, when you think about it, they don't really love themselves. So they find anybody that's different, anybody that is out of the norm or what they feel is the norm, to love them for just who they are is become such a revolutionary process in today's world. So let's talk about it. You know, if you want to call in, I'm going to let Dave say that number because with the light.
Dave just messed up.
I hope you can still hear us. I think we're still recording. I hope so. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we stopped the recording. We just got to get back to where the. Oh, here it is. The number is 646-787-1589.
Yeah, and we're going to go on. I hope we're recording. If it turns out that we didn't record, we will just have to record this show over again and start again. Okay. Well, we will see. So I'm going to, so is loving people and loving revolutionary? And I think it is, because in, like I was saying, in today's society, a lot of times people, I guess you get into your, I call it the think group, where you're just in your group, even in church groups. You go to your church, everybody's the same, everybody thinks the same, group think, everybody does the same thing. So anything that your group thinks is out of sight of their norm, you know, it becomes sometimes, and I don't feel like this is for everybody, but, you know, I have to say that, but it becomes like you got to be against that if it's outside of your norm. When, you know, God calls us to love ye one another, to love each other, doesn't mean you have to agree with people, but it just means that you have to love them where they are. And I'm going to take that into different situations, like loving a friend that may be Muslim and they think totally different than what you think, or loving a friend that is a homosexual and their lifestyle may not be what you agree with, but the person, God called us to love the person. What's your thoughts on that, Jay?
I just realized something, because, you know, we talked this week when we're going to do this topic, or I have the talk about the difference between discernment and judgment, and I just realized, well, here's the connection. Here's how it works for me, is I can judge or discern that a particular lifestyle, practice, et cetera, is not for me, pleasing to God. So let's say, let's talk about homosexuality. I don't understand. We're not going to get into the debate about homosexuality. All I'm saying is this is how I love those people. They're still God's children. They're still human beings. God said to love your neighbor as yourself. And he didn't put any caveats on there. He didn't say if they're Protestant, if they're Catholic, he didn't put any of that in there. So when I'm around those people, I can separate my love of them from my discernment that I can't participate in things that they do. I can still love them because I'm not judging them. I'm saying, I love you. I discern that the act or whatever you may be participating in, I can't be a part of. As a Christian, as somebody, just doesn't feel right for me. But I can still love you. And I'm not going to judge you for what you're doing. I'm going to love you anyway.
Yeah. And I think that, to me, that's our reasonable service. It's our reason. It doesn't make you different. Doesn't make you special. Doesn't make you any better. Doesn't make you so good because you love somebody that's different than yourself. It's your reasonable service.
It's not really extraordinary love.
Ordinary love. And, I guess I wanted to do this program because a lot of times, and not that we're getting into politics or anything like this, and I guess really doing this topic is almost revolutionary, just to encourage ourselves, me, Dave, and others to just begin with love. When there is a difference from your norm, somebody is a Muslim, they're a Buddhist, you may not agree with their thinking,
their theology, their doctrine,
their practices, but they're a human being. They're your brother or sister as human beings. So start with, I just love and accept you for where you are at this moment. It has nothing to do with whether you believe them or not. Doesn't make you less of a spiritual person. If you have a friend or love someone, that is different than you. It just opens you to understand the differences. And then sometimes, and I know this is controversial for some people, if you study the tenets, there are always going to be some ground tenets in every religion that talks about love and compassion or whatever.
I just want to add all the major religions, not the cults.
Yeah.
If you go to the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims, we'll just use those three. There are basic tenets that absolutely correspond with Christian tenets.
Yes. And you start at the commonality instead of focusing on the difference. It doesn't make them a bad person because they're other than you. And that is even for races. Dave and I are interracial couple. A lot of times, you're in the elevator and maybe you cringe because a black guy comes in and he's maybe the stereotype of what you perceive or what you've been taught or your limiting belief is that something is going to happen because he walked into the elevator, So we're touching on that about just loving and accepting people where they are.
Well, I've prayed, and you've heard me say this, Lord, give me kingdom eyes. I want to see how you see. And God looks at that person, whether they're dressed differently, whatever, and loves them first. Before anything else, he loves them. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so the group think that you shared with me, and I'm starting to really get, is, when we let our, the leaders of a political party or church or whatever social event make, they talk, and the next thing you have four or five people going, yeah, I agree with that. The next thing you have 20. And there's a mob rule. I won't go into the psychology of mobs, but it's there. and then you quit thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm seeing in our society. Let's talk about North America, American society. We have a lot of that, and people aren't studying for themselves. They're not doing the research, and we don't have time. I don't have time to do all the research on political, but I do want to go. I want to be open. I want to hear both sides. And that's just an example. It could be political. It could be spiritual. It could be religious. Not bragging or anything or whatever, but I myself am trying to find a Buddhist group here in town.
And
so
I
can go and talk
exploring.
To them and
yeah.
find out and listen to them. I am a solid Christian. That's never going to change. I have no fear of that. But these are human, loving human beings. I want to go talk to them. I want to hear how they practice and what they do. It's not going to change my relationship. Well, it may enhance my relationship with God,
I find
but it's
that,
not going to change my Christian foundation.
Right. I find that the more, and, you know, everybody's in their own place. I'm going to stop saying, oh, you may not agree with it. It doesn't really matter. The purpose of our program is to make you think. So you may not agree with us, or you may. And we invite comments. So if you don't agree, share a comment.
If you're a Buddhist out there, you
yeah.
want to jump in here and
yeah,
help us
whatever.
Out.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is that a lot of times if you are kind of stuck in that group think, we don't talk to, we don't communicate, we can't be around, you might want to do small things. Look at movies that are outside of your thought processes. Read a book that is outside of what your group thinks. Invite a friend for coffee just to talk, not to convert, not to change their mind, but to hear how they think. That's the beginning of that loving process. And it's really sad that when you think about doing these things in today's society, instead of that being like a norm, that almost is a revolutionary process. And it's almost sad that it is that way.
Yeah, let's put some feet on this, because you touched it, and it's something I've been trying to do, both of us, is we are trying to watch TV and films that stretch us. For example, we live in the Nashville area. There is a particular movie theater that there must be a heavy Indian, Middle Eastern influence, and so they have Indian movies. And I have gone to watch them, and it's been great. Because you know what I find out? People are people. Parents are parents. Children are children. Yeah, the customs may be different. But you go and you see this movie, and you see the love of parents for their children. And the struggles that we all struggle with. And it helps me go, oh, yeah, these guys are not the enemy, Dave. They are not the enemy. Now, they can be, and there may be a day, but I don't want to think that way.
Well, and even the enemy thing, these are not the enemy. There are people in every group of people that, you know, do things that are unkind, break the law, and it's not about the group. It is about that individual person.
Because we mm-hmm. talked about this last
yeah.
night with a couple, and that is, it's really not the average of the group that makes the news. It's not the average of the group that you see being interviewed on TV. No, you see the radicals, the most extreme left to right or whatever the case may be. That's not average. Linda and I have talked about that. She's not fully on board with me, but I believe the average American citizen, we're not that far apart. The left and right is not as far apart as everybody. But when you have extremists, and they're the ones making the news, boy, it looks like there is this chasm that we can't peel. I believe we can.
And I believe it's possible. It just takes us to... And then some, you know, there used to be a saying, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, What would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
And I always kind of somehow get back to that when I'm in that groupthink or when I'm confronted with something that's different than my norm. What would Jesus do? You know, how would he love? How would he love somebody that, you know, I saw this movie where the girl was a stripper and then she came to church. I don't remember what it is. And how people perceived and treated her because, you know, the people, it didn't everybody know, but the people that knew her, even how men approached her and she was dressed appropriately for church and all of that. How can we really lift up Christ if we don't love other than our own, other than ourselves?
Amen. Well, in prejudice and ignorance and culture are subtle things. Remember, guys, the Germans were not Nazis on day one. They were Nazis because they didn't say, I'm thinking for myself and I'm not going along with this.
And it's the little things that I just caution myself. When we're talking, a lot of times we're talking to ourselves, to others, to make you think, to cause you to think. It is the subtle things that when you hear those racist jokes and you let that go, or you know, it's those little, or you say them yourself.
Or you join in.
It's those subtle things that you can be that revolutionary to say, this is no longer acceptable. I'm not going to laugh at another group.
And you don't
expense.
Have to be a crusader. You really don't. You don't have to be a big soapbox, jump up in the middle of 10 people and go, oh, I can't listen. You just walk away. You know, don't make a scene. Just walk away. People will figure it out. They'll learn. They'll read you a poem. And that's kind of, I don't do the big,
I think that's
now
a
if they
good,
ask me, I will.
Yeah, so. I think it's a good thing to start there. But if people notice that you're quiet and you aren't participating and they ask, I feel like at
different.
Some point we do have to say, hey, guys, I'm sorry, this is not okay for me, and walk away. That takes a little bit more courage. That's that revolutionary part, because sometimes our silence is almost acceptance of that this is okay. So sometimes, and it, you don't have to be crazy with it, but you can, it's
in
not
love.
Okay.
In love.
Yeah.
Not condemning the group that you disagree with, but say, you know, guys, I'm not going along
I
with
this. I
can't
do this anymore.
I don't really want to hear this. I'm not going to participate. But I love you.
Yeah.
And I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Dude, that is so powerful.
Isn't it? But why is it now that is, it takes courage to do that.
It does.
Because you're with your group and you want everybody to love and accept you in that group.
Sure.
But that's an act that can cause somebody else to think.
You and I get in trouble at church every once in a while.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Because we'll
Pretty
go,
much.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. I don't think that's okay.
And that's not, folks, we don't really get in trouble, but there have been a couple times when I'm sure I rocked the boat. And
I know I have rocked the boat.
Linda probably rocks it a little heavier than
I
do. Well, we go, wait a minute, are we supposed to close the doors to homosexuals? Or not even let them come and participate and seek worship and maybe be healed or changed?
And
or
where
whatever?
Are they, you know, people, I have friends, and I'm going to be honest and open because I have friends that have a gay church. And some people will have a problem with that. I don't, because the reason they started their own church is because they were not accepted or put out of other churches.
And I've been to this church, folks. I'm going to be perfectly honest about it. I first heard this gay pastor preach at another church. And I'm going to tell you, all I know is his message was right on target, right out of the Word of God. There's nothing I didn't agree with. And I've attended this church, and I enjoyed it. I'm just going to tell you, I enjoyed it. Now, am I going to go, you know, be a member of this church? No, because I just don't.
It's not our ministry.
Right. That's not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
But am I going to reject this loving brother in Christ, and I believe he is saved. I believe he has a personal relationship. I don't think he could share in the things that he shared without it coming from a personal relationship.
And I believe that a lot of the members of that church, because I've known and interacted with them for probably since I've been in Tennessee, on and off, are genuine Christians. And some of the stories that they have told me is that they started their church because there was nobody accepting them. They're all older. They're probably about Dave and I's age.
Yeah,
or older. And so I really believe
40 to 60.
Yeah.
65, right?
I believe there was a time span where maybe they didn't feel comfortable.
Oh,
and
I'm sure there was a time.
And even in the sense that, you know, I can love people where they are, but if they did go to church with, you know, straight people, even if they couldn't find acceptance there, so even if there was a conversion that could have happened, the door was slammed in their face for that. And, you know, if they didn't convert, it still was okay, but it's just that we slam the door sometimes with not necessarily the physical door, but the mental door with our actions and thoughts
and
words
and
deeds.
It really does come back to that judgment discernment thing. I can discern that something is wrong. It's not my place to judge the person and say, I don't like you, I'm not having anything to do with you, you know, da 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 da. I can say I can't be a part of this action, this activity, this doctrine, et cetera, et cetera. But here's another thing that I'm learning, and I bet you Linda can add to this, but I have a very good friend who is a lesbian, and she and her partner want to find a fairly traditional, solid, Bible-teaching, believing-in-the-gifts church. They're not out there for lesbians. They're not out there for very few. The ones that will accept them are a little less traditional, and I'm not condemning them. I'm not. But they're not, you know, they're not the old Sunday school, you know, they're newish. Does that make sense? You know, the Unity Church, the Unitarian Church, you know, they'll accept these people, and they're comfortable there.
So what do they do, You don't go to church.
They don't.
You don't?
I've been talking to them for 5 years, and they still don't have a church, a home. Not that they won't ever go, but.
And it's not that we're saying that you, to me, it's not for you to judge their lifestyle, not to condone, or it's just not our job. Our job is to love and then let God do whatever he chooses to do about their lifestyle.
Right.
That is in his hands. Our job is not to judge, but to love.
And it doesn't mean I accept their belief. It doesn't mean I accept their lifestyle. It does mean that I tolerate it.
Yes.
And
so I guess tolerance would be
something part
that
of this,
and I know that's hard for people.
They have to make their own decisions. I can't make that decision for them. It would not do no good for me to, if I could, it wouldn't do any good because it's a hard thing.
It is.
You know, I can't do that.
I wonder how many, sometimes the church is condemned by others, is that, and especially in this time of day with this political climate, a lot of Christians are being condemned, not because you love, but because of the words that spew out of your mouth and the way you treat people. And so people who are not church look at that, you know, and are like, I am not going nowhere near a church. So how many people have we lost to Christ? And I'm not, you know, it's even in the Christian, there are loving, good people. I'm not saying that, but for the ones who do, before you or I become one of those people that spew out hate or whatever, let's remember first, before we are Republicans or Democrats or anything, or liberal or conservative, we are number one children of the King. We are Christians first. So, you know, I am a child of God, be any political or anything. And the things that we do or say, you know, we are his representatives in the earth realm.
I'm an ambassador for Christ.
We are ambassadors for Christ. What does that look like? It first has to look like love.
And again, and it takes practice.
It does.
We've worked on it. God's worked on us.
He's still working on us
of how to handle this. And one of the things we've learned is you can say your belief.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, you know, I've said it to my friends, this couple that I'm very close to that I love dearly. And I've said, you know, I don't understand. I don't agree with this lifestyle, but I love you. And I'm going to let God take care of the judge part. It's not my place.
And some of the part of that is that, you know, I've had a very full life and been exposed to a lot of things most people have not been exposed to in their lifetime. So maybe in a way, I guess it's easier for me.
You've had a lot of training.
I've had a lot of training as I look back on it. But, you know, I'd rather, if I was going to err, and I say this all the time, I'd always want to err on the side of love. You know, I didn't lose you to Christ because I said something that was hateful and all of that. I might have lost you, but it wasn't because I didn't love you or try to love you.
Yeah. And remember, too, and we both experienced this, some people don't want to be loved.
And that's okay.
And you just have to kind of walk away and go, okay, you know,
and
you're going to be mad at me no matter what I say.
Right.
I'm not going to hang around here. You
that's
know,
true.
Hurt I still
people,
love you
people.
Whether you like it or not, but I understand you're not going to, you don't want me around.
And, you know, and that's okay. But to me, it's for us to hold the door for love.
Amen.
I hold the door.
That's a great,
you
I like
know,
that phrase.
And the door is open. If you want to come in, this is a loving place. This is my body is totally committed to God, and it's a place of love. It's sacredly for, I hold the door.
I like that phrase, hold the door for life. As if, let's just open this door and invite him in. You know,
yeah.
Just invite that
space.
That whatever you want to call it, you know, safety, security, safe space. Yeah. So how else, Linda, would you put feed on this? What other, I mean, how do you practice?
I mean, to me, and it's an ongoing thing because we all, you know, the group think is just insidious. You know, it's in your thought and in your processes, it's in your subconscious mind. So I think the first thing is to be conscious of how you treat others.
Hmm.
Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Golden rule.
So, you know, start there, kind and compassionate, and try to be understanding. This does not mean that you have to agree with everybody, but, you know, one of my prayers daily is, Lord, help me to be kind and compassionate.
Here's something, and you and I have worked on this, is we have decided that we are going to pay more attention to what we listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes a difference. So I lean toward the conservative side, and I will listen to conservative talk radio. But there's only a couple guys I will listen to. And the guys I will listen to are much more logical. They're less name-calling. They're not ugly. I won't listen, and I will tune in the liberal station in the same thing. If you're spewing
names
and
either way.
I don't want to hear it. If you can't, and
we are an opposite. I am liberal, and I have listened to or been on sites, Facebook and social media, where when it gets to that you call the other people ugly names and all of that.
And ridicule.
And I know we all feel frustrated about something. But, you know, try. That's a step. Just don't do the name calling. You still can get your point across. You still, and to me, your point loses meaning when you have to do the name calling.
Attack.
And because a lot of people, and I include myself, have already turned off once you did this.
Or they've gotten angry.
Yeah, and so whatever points you were going to get.
Well, when you're angry either.
No.
Well, you know, there's the character assassination that's going on both sides. There's the condescending, oh, those people that side are so stupid. No, they're not, folks. These are intelligent people on both sides. And there's, I believe the majority want to do the right thing. It's the leadership that kind of sometimes want to take out back, you know.
Yeah.
And go, you're not out for us. You're not representing us. But again, we're getting, and that.
Well, it's just being, we all are, and I think it needs to be said. You know, we're all passionate about, I had to take a kind of getting in that. And I had to take a step back and not make any comments or do anything for a little bit of time. But I think that we're also passionate about how we believe, but don't lose sight. And
which is a good thing.
I lost sight of who I am first. I am a daughter of the King.
And I need to act.
And I
like
need
a daughter
to act
or
like that.
A son.
Yes.
We are princes and princesses.
Right. And so, you know, in my royalty of who I am in God, I can't do
that. And you know what
that.
Goes with this? And this may be put a little feed on it. If you're a child of the King.
That's who I am first.
You really don't have to worry about what people think. I know that's how, you know, we don't have to do a crusade.
Or do we really? Because I really believe in my whole being that no matter what's going on politically,
yes, exactly.
God is going to provide for me.
And that's what
you know what
about.
I'm saying? So if I believe and stand in that, I'm not going to, he said, I will never see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. That's a guarantee,
and
folks.
As a husband to Linda McDowell, she absolutely walks this walk and is teaching me. I used to call her Miss Pollyanna. I can, you know, you just think everything's going to work out great. But you know what? It is.
If you believe that.
It may not work out the way we thought it would.
And it doesn't sometimes.
But I'm not going to be out on the street. It's,
no
know,
matter what the political climate is.
Right.
And, you know, it goes back to that other strip. All things work together
yes.
for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to
his purpose.
You
didn't say it was
going to
be easy.
No.
You didn't say there weren't going to be challenges to your faith, to your discipline, to your passion, to your energy, you know, all
no.
those things. But you just keep swimming.
Yes,
just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Maybe that may be a new theme for us.
It might be. But, you know, all things, when you are a child of the King, your father is the creator of the universe. Do you believe that your father would leave you without? And if you're confessing that he is your King, would he leave you without?
Right. Now, again, just take spiritual eyes to realize without what without means. Let's talk about that. Without, because now we're getting off into something else. But I want to bring without. That is a Old Testament statement that was in the book. That I sound like a theologian. I'm really not, guys. The book of the first five books of the Bible, the Book of Law. How many times it says when somebody does something, you put them without the camp. We are never without the camp of God. This is New Testament. We never get put without. And that includes spiritual, physical, etc. I've never put without the camp of God.
And I think even in America, we condemn and whatever. But even the poorest of the poor in America, most time, I know there are homeless people, but a lot of times a lot of homeless people have mental health issues and maybe aren't thinking the way, have shut themselves off from their long, because as long as you're connected in a family group, in a church group, you can have.
Yeah.
It's not the loss of resources. It's the loss of relationships that causes that poor mentality. think about that. And then, you know, we are in a perfect, connection of resources when you are in relationship to God, when He is your Father. So for us to get to the point that we're scared when that another group is going to get more than us or have less than us, what is that saying about your relationship to God?
You know, I've had to deal with that. I'm still dealing with it. But again, try not to get into policy and politics and everything, but that feeling of, I work for it, but them work for it. And there's some truth to that.
It is.
I don't
truth.
Think we should just.
If we don't work, we don't
out.
Eat. And I do believe
but
that.
But on the other hand, I have more than enough. I don't, and this is going to be really radical, but I want people to think about it. I do not mind paying United States government taxes. I don't. It's the cost of living in this country. Now, I do mind that it's misspent or wasted or whatever, but I do not mind paying taxes. I wish I wouldn't quite as much. You know?
Yeah, we all.
But
or I don't mind helping out widows or orphans.
Right.
Or elderly people
sure.
in any way. And I feel like the social programs for those people are, we need to help. If you have.
We shouldn't even need those programs. If the church, and we've talked about what the church is, if the church was doing what God asked us to do, we wouldn't need those programs.
We wouldn't. But as a country, we do.
Right.
I do feel that. And working out in the community as a hospice nurse,
I think there
nurse,
should be
I
criteria. I think there should be qualifications. You know, I don't think you should get it just because you filled out an application.
And well, and I agree with that, but I just feel like if
but let's be loving.
Let's be loving in that. You know,
yeah.
the elderly,
right.
the widow, and that's in the Bible. That's biblical.
Oh, yeah. I said,
you know,
if you really want to know God's will, I can give it to you in about four sentences. Take care of the widows, take care of the homeless, take care of the orphans, visit those sick in prison. Boom.
And
I mean,
so
you,
really,
you
when you think about
things,
it, if you go to the Word, there's your political party right there.
Yeah, there you
there's
go.
The rules of engagement
oh, really?
In the Word
oh, there
right there in the Bible. Speak that and do that. That's a step.
Well,
it's to speak what the Word
it.
Said. Yeah. Well, and I do believe if you follow, even if you
yeah.
follow it literally.
Oh, absolutely.
You are being smart about
oh,
it.
Oh, I'm just teasing
yeah.
about programs.
Yeah.
And just spend money and whatever. But I don't want to do – I am a fiscal conservative, folks. I lean toward the conservative side. But I don't want any of these programs to go away. I just want them better administered.
And I agree with that. You know, I'm trying to get away from the label because when I attach myself to the label, then I feel like I have to go one way or the other. So what I am first is a child of God. And that is really what I'm trying
right.
to do, to get away from being liberal or conservative, but to be a thinking, independent adult. That my first commitment is to God.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up because I just did it. And we've talked about, Linda and I have talked about trying not to label ourselves.
It's so hard.
I don't want to be in the physical conservative group. I don't. I don't want to be in the Republican group. I don't want to be in the liberal group. I don't want to be in the Democrat. I want to be in the human race.
Pretty much.
You know?
I want to be God's child
yeah.
on the earth that He's called to represent Him on the earth. Amen. And I'm just learning what that looks like. Okay. So what do you think about that?
I think we've covered a lot of ground, but I think
yeah.
this is all appropriate. There's not a magic switch.
It's not.
You have to pray for it.
You do.
Ask for God's grace. Ask Him to change your heart. He will. If you were truly mean that, He will. Now, will it be a struggle?
Yes,
yes it will.
And it's
will
been
it be a challenge?
Yes.
Will it upset your traditions and
yes.
your whatever? But trust God. Say, God, help me. If I'm headed off in the wrong direction, pull me back. If I'm going too far this way, swing me back the other way a little bit. If I need some equilibrium and balance, then give that to me. But, you know, a friend of mine said something to me one day, my best friend, I thought, wow, so profound and so simple. Because I was talking to him about balance. You know, we should have balance between the legal and the free and, you know, all these things, which I still agree with. And he said, except when it comes to love. And I thought, how profound.
Yeah.
There should be no, I mean, it should be swinging as hard to whatever you want to call it. It should be unconditional, complete, absolute. There's no balance in love.
Wow. I love that.
He just said it off the cuff, you know, and I go, wow, that's great.
But you know what? If love at this point in time in our day and age is revolutionary, call me a revolutionary.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's carry the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not in that attitude of fight.
But to change thinking, change ourselves to be more Christ-like. Because in his day and time, he was a revolutionary.
Oh, my gosh. He upset the apple carts all
over.
You know, and the religious people got pretty upset with him because he told the truth.
He told the truth. And let us follow truth. What is truth? What is good? What is right?
Well, so the next time I or someone I know is just beating up some group, calling them whatever, you know, even if it's kind of gentle. You know, what I want to do is first in my own mind, but they're children of God. I can love them. I don't have to agree with them.
You don't, and that's
you know,
the thing that we're stressing, that you don't have to agree. You just have to love.
You really want to be courageous in that group of people.
And it takes courage.
Just gently say, you know,
I don't feel that way.
I still love them.
Yeah, or that's perfect.
Isn't that great? I you know what? I'm just going to choose to love them. I like the old Southern, bless their heart.
Bless their heart. my grandmother, before she would say something mean about somebody, that's why she might have had that thought. But she would say, well, bless her heart.
Right.
And that's what I do sometimes before I say that
mean word.
Yeah. Bless his heart.
Okay. Let's see. Do you think there's anything else we really need to go into?
I don't have anything unless you have anything. Just that the call to action would be, if love is revolutionary, let's be revolutionists.
That's perfect. You know, you just segue into what I wanted to say, and that is, we talked this week about several topics. One was just a really easy pep talk.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing of go, explore, try. So I would say the same thing here. Give it a shot.
Yes.
You know, go out there and shot somebody.
Yeah.
You know, hug the homeless guy. I've been at Barnes.
Give him a few dollars even if you don't know if he's going to spend it or not. It's your heart that you are working
right. It's
on.
Not what he does with the money. It's what you do.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if you give it with an honest heart.
I love what you do. And make a point of, like, we're at Starbucks sometimes, and Dave will buy the next car coffee.
Fun.
It's fun. Well, especially if you see somebody that maybe is not in your group think.
Right.
Buy them some coffee.
And say, you know, walk up to Panera or Barnes & Noble or any place and just say, hey, I got that.
Yeah.
I'm buying that.
Start that.
You
it's
want an
awesome.
Opening?
Yes.
You will. I mean, more than likely, you're going to get, well, why are you doing that? Well, now you can say, I just want to because I care about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if they're ready and they're open, the next thing you know, you're sitting at a table having a really interesting conversation.
You are. Just spreading a little love today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a risk. Perfect love. Casteth out fear.
Wow.
That's what that's about. If you love perfectly, that means that, and I practice this, I have two sayings, and that is, you can't hurt my feelings. The first time I said that, the Holy Spirit of God said to me, that's it, Dave. That's the attitude I want. He said, because I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. You can't change that. You can't make me not love you.
Right.
That will set you free. So
it
there's no
you
fear.
From
I don't have to
so
worry
offended.
About rejection.
If you just take that fear away, it just takes away the offense.
Yeah.
Of being so offended by this group or
yeah.
that group or what they said or thought or whatever.
Right.
It takes that away. Perfect
yeah,
love.
We can do that another time, but
yeah.
that perfect love and fear is so misunderstood.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, what is taught is right. What isn't taught needs to be said. Does that make sense? I mean, I've
yeah.
heard great sermons on it, but they miss some of it. At least in my opinion, like I'm the great theologian, you know, whatever. But that's the way I feel about it.
Well,
let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
I think we've gone on long enough. I've enjoyed the heck out of it, as usual. Again, folks, you are talking to two lay persons.
Yes.
We are everyday, nothing extraordinary, people who love the Lord,
which
who
makes
are trying
us
to grow. And would love to see you grow with us.
Yeah.
Challenge us. And ask us questions. We can't answer. We'll try to do some research.
Right.
If we have to.
Make us thinking. Hopefully you're thinking.
Grow
That's
up.
All we want to do is to cause people to think.
And grow us.
Yeah.
We want to grow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not nearly where I mean,
me
I think
either.
There's so much more I mean, scratch the surface on, you know. And that's what makes my Christian life exciting is there's a lot more left.
A lot more.
I mean, I got a lot of growing and a lot of learning, but I'm not afraid anymore.
Okay.
You know? Isn't that
yeah.
great? Okay, so this is our tradition, and that is that we're going to pray for you and ourselves, and then we'll say goodbye.
All right.
So I'll pray. You prayed
okay.
last week. Not that it really matters. Lord, we just thank you for this time.
Yeah.
Thank you for visiting with us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for bouncing ideas, thoughts from Linda's spirit to my spirit. I know you do that. And thank you that we can just fly without a net and know that you're right here leading the conversation.
Thank you.
Touching people, causing someone to think, causing us to think. Lord, you are incredible. I love you.
Yes,
Lord. So, Lord, I pray for these people that those that are seeking you will find you. Those that are knocking, the door will be opened. Because you're pursuing them harder than they're pursuing you. And so I just pray for that meeting to take place. And I ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. We just want to tell you, thank you for coming and sitting on the back porch with us. This was one of our back porch conversations. Have a blessed week. Be grateful, be lovable, be loving, be kind, be compassionate, and be blessed. See you next week.